along with the Kirby lot operations, and relocating that to another site. And after considerations in terms of the cost, the location, and the access, we decided that it was in the best interest to use available parcels and existing lots that the city has under management and redevelop those lots to provide a replacement lot for the Kirby lot. So we hired OTAC architects, and I said we, both the city of Portland and Legacy, we jointly engaged the OTAC architects to take a look in terms of different scenarios to replace the Kirby lot. There was, again, like I said, we looked at various alternatives, and the preferred alternative at the end of the day was to develop a 24,000 square foot lot directly across the street. And if you can see that, where you can see the existing lot and the facility directly across the street from the existing lot is the garage. And so if you were to look at the south lot, you can see that's directly across the street south of the Kirby garage. That there will handle the majority of the parking spaces that we need in order to continue to have the Kirby lot operations. So that's roughly about 24,000 square feet. In addition to supplement the parking Kirby lot operations, we also identify what we call Lot 17 and Lot 9 to accommodate some additional parking needs as part of the Kirby lot operations.
Who owns those lot 17 and 19?
Right now, the city manages those lot through a lease with ODOT. So we have them under current arrangement, current lease agreements with ODOT. And Commissioner Saltzman, we've had these arrangements with ODOT for quite some time. So there's three agreements as part of this consideration. The first one is the real estate agreement and exchange agreement. The Kirby lot is currently valued at approximately $530,000. In exchange for the Kirby lot, the city will receive in consideration roughly about $1.6 million. The city is going to receive a cash payment of $1.1 million, and then also receive a legacy parcel value of about $90,000. In addition to that, the city will receive over $530,000 over the next 10 years. Legacy will also provide some additional consideration, which includes an emergency parking easement that will provide access to a parking lot for, in the event of an emergency, that will provide the city a place to stage its fleet and provide a place for materials and supplies in the event of an emergency. In addition to that, the city will also enter into a commercial lease agreement that will provide the city the opportunity to continue to use the Kirby lot for the next 2 years. Now I'd like to turn this over to Dr. Morgan, who will provide a little bit more information about the project.
Good morning. I am Lori Morgan, the Chief Administrative Officer at Legacy Emmanuel. Thank you for the privilege of presenting this project. One of the questions that's come up is really what are the driving factors for the project? There are, I think we all know there's an aging population with kind of increased medical needs. Emmanuel just celebrated our 100th anniversary, which we're very proud of, but with that comes some aging facilities. Our operating rooms are almost 40 years old now, and the technology explosion in that last 40 years has been huge. Quite frankly, our rooms are small. There's one particular piece of equipment we'd like to have that we can't buy. They literally will not fit into our operating rooms, and that's going to continue to happen with increases in technology. One of the other things we're also finding is the fluctuating demands really requiring more architectural flexibility than we were building for 40 years ago. It used to be you'd have a floor room and a step-down room and an ICU room. And when we build rooms now, we build them to be used for absolutely anything, whether it's a day-to-day patient care, an ICU patient, or quite frankly, to be able to expand for any emergency crisis that we need to. Our capital investment strategy at Legacy is really based off a campus master facility plan, which really includes new maintenance and infrastructure, but does take into account medical equipment, simulation and education, research, information technology, and physician alignment. And this project actually has components of all of those things. Why is this good for Portland? Well, it really will help maintain Emmanuel in Portland as a center for healthcare in the region. It's a $150 million construction project that we're estimating will bring 250 to 300 construction jobs. Additionally, once the building is complete, we think we'll need to add probably 75 to 100 FTEs to that, with an estimated $9 million in family wages that we would bring. There will also be additional supplies and services for operations, and those aren't really yet quantified. It really allows Emmanuel to continue to serve as the regional and state resource that it is for high-end critical care with our trauma and burn unit, as well as pediatrics. We did just proudly build Randall Children's Hospital, but the operating rooms for that actually are housed at Emmanuel. They're not in that building. So this will also allow us to provide some extra pediatric specialization in our ORs. Why is it good for the community? Actually, in the mission statement that I'm given by my agency is that we are to be a regional resource for quaternary medical care, as well as an economic driver for North Portland. And that's a very specific mission that we have. We've been deeply...
What does quaternary mean?
Oh, more advanced than tertiary. Does that help? What we would call very high-end medical care that you really can't get in really usually only one or two hospitals in the state.
Okay, thanks.
We've been deeply involved in our community. Some of the programs that we've been involved in for the home ownership program, where for 10 years over 100 employees purchased homes within 2 miles of Emmanuel with assistance. We've participated in the Dawson Park revitalization. There's a long list of community organizations that we participate with. Quite frankly, we very proudly have one of the community gardens that you were just talking about on our campus. And then work with many agencies. One of the other things that's really part of our mission is education, and not only of professionals, but within the community. This is something that's personally very near and dear to my heart. We participated fully with the YES program, which has affected college scholarships for a number of agencies and students, including SEI and REAP. We have job shadow opportunities for all of our high school. Also have invested in scholarship programs with Hispanic Chamber, PCC Cascade, and the Scanner Scholarship Program. We do a number of community prevention educations. Quite frankly, there are some listed here. I won't read them to all of you, but they're actually more than that. I think another reason why this is good for the community is that our success allows us to continue to support a large amount of charity care. Currently, for fiscal year 11, our charity care was 6.4% of my overall budget, which was $36 million. And our total unreimbursed costs of clinical care for this community was 15.9% or $89.3 million. We have a large community health fund that further assists other community organizations, which has totaled over $6 million in the last 10 years. Our total community benefit in fiscal year 11 alone was really over $91 million, which is a higher percentage than any other hospital in the metro area. It's something that we're very proud of, and I think, again, our health allows us to continue to do this, and these new operating rooms are really essential for that. Another long list of all of our community partners, and I won't read them to you. Why is it good for Legacy? Well, the new ORs will allow us to utilize the new technology. New facilities allow us to bring our buildings up and our high acuity areas up to current code. Part of the issue is the location is very critical to be next to our current ORs, and I'll show you a map of that in a second. But it allows us to continue to use our current space as well as maintain efficiencies, trying to build a separate set of and we've looked at this originally, a separate set of ORs across campus really divides kind of our personnel in two different locations, which makes it very difficult to manage operationally. We also are planning to add some additional ICU space that will help prevent us from going on divert for lack of bed space. The new construction will increase our flexibility, and better facilities attract really more and top-notch physicians who want to work in facilities that are commensurate with their skills. So this is a picture of our current campus. Randall has pointed out for you, because everyone knows where that is. The plan structure is what's colored. The operating rooms would be on the bottom floors. The top floors would be some additional ICU space. Off to the left, you can see, is where the helicopter pad, that's another orienting spot. Quite frankly, this parking lot that we're talking about, most people think we own. Everyone's always really stunned when they're like, well, what's the problem? Like, well, I know it's right next to our building, and it would seem like we do own it, but the reality is that we don't. Some of our previous community collaborations with construction, we were very engaged with the building of Randall Children's Hospital with NAMCO, as well as other agencies. One of the things we worked very hard on in the last year is our Emmanuel Reconciliation Project, which is an opportunity to work with our neighbors better in terms of what we are planning to do on our campus. And we continue to have ongoing dialogue and community engagement with our master facility plan on the campus for what we want, for what we want to do. So that is my presentation of why I think this is a great project, and I hope you do too.
So, Council, based on the benefits to the community and also to the city, and based on the terms of the agreement, the Office of Management and Finance is recommending that this ordinance be approved. We've also would like to invite members of the community and business representatives to speak on behalf of this particular project.
Can I ask some questions of Dr.
Sure.
Morgan?
Mm-hmm.
So, Dr. Morgan, this all sounds great. I just want some assurance that Emmanuel is going to actually break ground on this project soon, and that this is a certainty, not a idea subject to a capital campaign that may or may not be successful. So we're giving you the property. We're selling it to you, actually, but leasing it back from you for 2 years. So presumably within that 2 years, Emmanuel will break ground on this OR?
Well, we can't break ground until you move out, but...
Okay, well, it's a parking lot. It's not much to move.
That's right. No, it is, as I mentioned in one of the slides, Legacy actually has a multi-campus master facility plan in terms of what we need to do on all of our campuses. And when we reviewed that plan with our board in the spring, this project was number one on that list. So as far as the formal approval through our board, we've been struggling with the chicken or the egg thing. I don't really have a project until I have a parking lot. And so I'm just being honest with you, our board hasn't formally approved it, but they absolutely know that we're here. And as we speak, we are formalizing what we would call our pro forma to take it to our board for approval. So I think you have our assurances that this is a project we're going to build.
When?
Well, we think it'll take probably the next 18 months to plan. And so I think as soon as you guys are ready to turn it over, then we'll be ready to put a shovel in the ground.
So
I'd have done it 3 years ago if it were up to me. I can hear my colleagues in the back sniggering. So I'm ready to go. We are very anxious to have this project done.
And the commitment is to build exactly what you showed us: operating rooms, intensive care unit,
right?
Pediatric trauma expansion.
Pediatric operating rooms will be a part of that, and that's certainly a piece of all the trauma care that we do. Mm-hmm. Our trauma ORs are actually upstairs in our emergency room, quite frankly. These are our kind of our regular ORs in day surgery, but there will be dedicated pediatric ORs that are a component of this.
So the component of ICU operating rooms for critical care, whatever.
Right.
Because I know there's a big trend, you know, of hospitals to, you know, sort of go to day surgery,
right.
elective surgery, which
right.
brings in, is popular with
right.
baby boomers,
right.
brings in money.
Yes.
That's not the intent here. Is that correct?
It's a combination. Really, all of our ORs need to be done. We already have a day surgery component. So there will be some of these rooms that we will utilize as part of our day surgery. The very bottom floor will be run-of-the-mill, high acuity ORs. This really expands our capacity.
And so in the ordinance before us, there's nothing that sort of specifically speaks to what has been presented to us in terms of what Legacy Emmanuel will do with this piece of property. Mm-hmm. And so I guess, would you have an objection?
This is a, this is a real estate transaction. This is not a, they are paying for this. And
I realize
reimbursing
that.
Us for that. So this is not charity on our part. So I'm curious
this is,
to your line of questioning.
Well, if you'll let me speak, I will continue. Do you have any objection to adding language in here that is in your PowerPoint that says Legacy will, with this property, develop larger state-of-the-art operating rooms, including outpatient, minimally invasive, and robotic surgery at Emmanuel? Additionally, configure repart of the operating room with a pediatric focus to address specific needs of children.
I
if we were to add that in here to this ordinance.
Yeah, I have
Am I right to question? I mean, well, I'll ask
yeah.
you the question.
I mean, I have the ordinance in front of me, and as I'm trying to read through it really quickly, I'm pretty sure it says for an operating room expansion, but certainly there are components.
What is the purpose of your question?
Well, the purpose of my questioning is, as you mentioned, you're going through sort of a reconciliation project. I mean, there's a lot of sensitivity.
Yes.
About Emmanuel under, you know, sort of the dark days of urban renewal where land was condemned. African-American community between Williams and Vancouver was, in essence, relocated or otherwise vanished. So I guess I have, you know, particular sensitivity about selling this property to them with an understanding this is going to happen. And then if nothing happens, if this remains a vacant parcel, like the vacant parcels between Williams and Vancouver today. So that's the purpose of my line of questioning. I want some assurance that if we sell this and declare this property surplus, that in fact the intended purpose is going to occur, which sounds great. And that's why I was asking, you know, when it's going to start. But I would feel disappointed, and I think a lot of the community would be disappointed if this were just to remain and to go from a city parking lot to a legacy parking lot. So that's why I would ask if we could add language.
If I can just weigh in. I mean, the point on the piece of property between Williams and Vancouver, I actually raised in my own private meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in that neighborhood, so I don't know how familiar you are with what was raised from there.
And is your mic on?
Yes. Characteristically speaking, very low. What was raised there, I raised in my own briefing, not so much what was lost, because for those of you who might have some emotional tie to what was there, I don't. It was a center of crime and dysfunction, but it should have been replaced when it was raised, and I said so and asked and pushed even, you know, at what point are you going to do something with that piece of property to reinvigorate the community? This piece of property is not such a piece of property. It is an isolated, in terms of its connection to the community, isolated piece of property that I also thought was part of Emmanuel. I would also add that I have, since and before my presentation, visited the operating rooms once, just to get a better sense because of this proposal, and a couple of other times for personal reasons. It is obsolete. It is outdated. I have no doubt that Emmanuel intends to do what they have represented they're going to do. And I would be concerned about putting conditions on this sale only because, not because I think Emmanuel is misrepresenting what they're doing today and intend to do something different, but as you well know, development occurs. Different ideas could bubble to the surface, and I wouldn't want to constrain their ability to do that. Having said that, I wasn't going to say this publicly, but I would echo Commissioner Saltzman's concerns about that parcel between Williams and Vancouver, and then Russell and Knott, I think, are the other boundaries. I really, and I know your response at the time was to use it for construction, staging, and whatnot. I would encourage you to look for another place to do that, and at, as we discussed, at minimum, make it a playground or some community amenity. It would do a lot to heal bad feelings about what's been left there.
And if I could just speak, I'm not asking this to be put in as a condition of sale. I mean, if we declare the surplus and sell it to you, then it's your property. But I think it should reflect in the record that in the ordinance, this is our understanding of what's going to happen with this parcel. And it says it very well here in the PowerPoint. I'd just like to transfer that paragraph from the PowerPoint into the ordinance. So
I move,
everybody knows that
I move
this is what we're operating under.
I move we attach the PowerPoint as Exhibit A.
Second.
So moved and seconded.
Okay.
Carla, can you please call a vote on the motion?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. All right. Any additional discussion? We've got some folks that want to testify. Could President Gatewood, Sam Brooks, and Dr. John Hill please come forward? You can take your seats.
And Dr. Hill is stuck in the operating room,
all right.
So I'll extend his apologies.
No problem.
But
President Gatewood.
I thought he should take care of that.
Amber.
All right.
Is anyone else signed up to testify?
No one else.
All right.
So Mr. Brooks has given me the honor of going first. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you so much for the opportunity to address you this morning. I am very happy to speak with you in support of Legacy Emanuel Hospital. During my tenure as president of Portland Community College Cascade Campus, I found Legacy to be a good neighbor and a friend to the greater North Portland community. And let me say that Cascade Campus enrolls about 24,000 students last academic year. We have 61 different curriculum programs from which students can obtain a major. And those programs range from fire protection technology to criminal justice, ophthalmic medical technology, to many other health-related careers. And I mention that to you so that you will be reminded of the magnitude of Cascade Campus in the community. Emanuel Hospital, Legacy Emanuel, and Cascade are two major entities that are in very close proximity to each other. In terms of the relationship between Cascade Campus and Emanuel Hospital, as I said earlier, they've done a lot of things to support us in the work we do. Most notably, and most recently, Legacy Emanuel has made what I consider to be the long-term a commitment to ensure that we have a very prosperous community. And what they have done is stepped up to a call from me to participate in our middle college program scholarship bank. Dr. Morgan mentioned that in her comment. But you know, it's really much more significant than just a scholarship. When we invest in the students at Jefferson High School, we are investing in the future of Portland. Not only the future of North Portland, but the future of this entire metropolitan area. And this particular scholarship, in which Legacy will award one per year, is targeting young people from Jefferson who want to have careers in the medical profession, healthcare careers. And these types of careers will provide what we have a tendency to call living wage jobs. These are people that won't be on relief programs. They'll be providing assistance to us in the community. They will not be tax takers. They're going to be taxpayers. So I'm really proud of that. But it goes further than that. Each year, the scholarship recipient will also be entitled to a summer job. Working at Legacy Hospital, getting a feel for the medical profession, a hands-on feel, and that's going to certainly enhance the success of this program. Legacy Emanuel Hospital also works with our campus to facilitate the clinical rotations of medical laboratory technology students. We have about 160 on average medical technology students enrolled at the campus each year. And Legacy provides an opportunity for us to have an office on site at the hospital where one of our staff people are there to work with the students to help them acclimate to what's going on there and coordinate with Legacy staff. My sense is that a collaboration such as this, a public community college campus, and a private hospital working together is truly a win-win situation. Legacy wins, the campus wins, the students win, and the city wins. And my hope is, and my expectation is, that if Legacy moves forward with the project that it is proposing to you, that this will provide yet another opportunity for students in the Cascade campus as well as people in our community to have jobs. And I'm thinking mostly in terms of our trade students. We have a large trades program, and this would be an ideal opportunity for them to get hands-on experience and to have a living wage job following the completion of the training. So in closing, let me say again that Cascade Campus, Legacy Manual Hospital are valuable entities to this community, and we truly support the work that Legacy is doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Hi, Mr. Brooks.
Good morning, Mayor Adams, members of the commission. Sam Brooks. I'm a 44-year inner Northeast resident. I run a company in Northeast that has over 200 employees. I run an organization that is 10 blocks down from Legacy Emanuel Hospital, the Oregon Association of Minority Entrepreneurs, that has grown to over 850 companies. I could have stole the virtues of Legacy and take up way too much time. I do have a written document that I've brought, but the most important thing is that, particularly as Dan Sossman, as you indicated earlier, the community that I had an opportunity to meet with Legacy and particularly people from the African American community a few weeks ago to talk about history. And it was interesting that as we went through that discussion about history, and I came here in the 60s from the military, and what we have done, you can't do very much about history except make it better moving forward. And as a partner with Legacy, creating opportunities are kind of three things. Do you have partnerships with the community? Absolutely. Are you creating jobs? Yes, they have. And proposing to create more jobs. Are you working with people in the community that will create wealth, ownership, and jobs? Their participation with us, the Oregon Association of Minority Entrepreneurs, as they build the Randall Center, absolutely created jobs. They use minority, women, and emerging small businesses. For anybody that knows me, I've been working on that for over 30 years. Those are the things that I look. Not whether you are talking the talk, but are you walking the walk? Dr. Brown gave an amazing, in my opinion, presentation at that gathering of people from the 60s that were part of all that. And for the businesses that were there, looking as we move forward. This is an opportunity to move past some of the history that you cannot change. Someone once said that if you live your life looking in the rearview mirror, you are inclined to head for a wreck. So we don't want to spend too much time looking in the rearview mirror. We have an opportunity to move forward and provide opportunities for the North Northeast community. And this is something I think we should move forward with. So anything that you can do to help change that community. And I might add, as a person that's been there since the 60s, Commissioner Leonard, you have a lot of history. That community is changing. Dramatically so. And if you can do something to help the folks that remain in the community, and certainly that is the plan, I think that's an excellent thing to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Brooks. Thank you, President Gatewood.
Thank you.
Any comments from council, unless there's anyone else that wishes to testify? Comments from council?
I guess I hate to be a stickler on this, but I would like to insert in the ordinance the paragraph on the project concept. I know attaching PowerPoints to the record is good, but I would feel better.
Where's that found at?
It's on page 3 of the PowerPoint. I suggest a paragraph, new paragraph 3, right after paragraph 2, that says Legacy Emanuel's intent is to develop larger state-of-the-art operating rooms, including outpatient, minimally invasive, and robotic surgery at Emanuel. Additionally, reconfigure part of the operating room with a pediatric focus to address specific needs of children.
I have a question.
I would move that as paragraph 3.
So that I understand, you're taking the first bullet point and just...
Yeah, and putting it in as a under our findings, or the council finds that.
And did you say you were adding the words, it is their intent?
Yeah, I mean, I believe that's certainly...
If you add the words, it is the intent, and then take the first bullet point, I will second it.
Okay.
We have a second. So I have a question, if I could, of Dr. Morgan. Dr. Morgan, this Commissioner Leonard's referring to the project concept language.
Right.
Is the language broad enough to allow you to adapt to whatever your funding challenges are, or whatever sequencing the board chooses, or whatever, so that by putting this in the ordinance, you still have the flexibility to deliver a world-class health facility that you deem appropriate?
Right. I mean, I think as long as it really does say it is our intent, because this is our intent. Now, it might be the case that, for example, we decide not to include the outpatient part because we already have outpatient ORs. I think if it's our intent, I'm comfortable with that.
I move the amendment here.
It's been moved and seconded.
Yep. Any additional discussion? Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Commissioner Fish?
Thank you, Mayor. We've now concluded the formal presentation. We may not, it's possible a number of you may not be here next week when we vote on this. I would just like to say in advance of the vote that I'm reminded that Legacy Emanuel is one of two level one trauma centers in the state. And in our city, you have one at Legacy Emanuel and one at OHSU. And I have some personal experience with that because my son, in his first year of life, had significant surgery at OHSU. Now, it wasn't, I'm not sure if it was surgery he couldn't have had at Legacy Emanuel, but just to show that we're ecumenical, my wife did deliver my son at Legacy Emanuel. But the surgery that he had was at OHSU. But we have two level one centers, and that's vitally important for our state and for our city. What has excited me about this prospect is the opportunity for you to expand upon your existing capacity and put a state-of-the-art OR in your campus. And that is especially good news for people who live on the east side of Portland. And so I want to thank you, Dr. Morgan, for your tireless perseverance on this project. So I know it goes back many years that you've been working to this day. But I also just want to say, about a year ago, when I had a chance to tour the Randall Children's Hospital, and I first learned of how urgent this concept was for the hospital, it was at that time or shortly thereafter that Jack Graham rolled up his sleeves with his team and took this on as sort of a mission. And I've lost count of how many briefings we've had, council's had with Jack and his team and Bryant about this. And I just would say that with all the moving pieces and the complexity, this one was incredibly complicated. So lest someone think this just happened miraculously, I want to just acknowledge the tremendous work of OMF in moving all these pieces together, and you, Dr. Morgan, for your perseverance. But assuming we vote next week to approve this, and I think you have the votes, mostly this is good news for young people in our city, and particularly on the east side. And so I thank you for your perseverance.
All right. This moves to further consideration next week. I want to thank you and the entire team at Emanuel and Legacy, and I want to thank Bryant. You and Jack, thank you very much for your work on this. Moves for further consideration next week. I'm going to run through and do the seconds just to have folks be able to, and some housekeeping stuff before we go through the regular agenda. So, Carla, can you please read item 1193 and call the vote?
Authorize the Portland Water Bureau to purchase property located near the Bull Run watershed to enhance protection of the watershed, secure right-of-ways for the conduit routes, contribute to Endangered Species Act compliance, and provide for payment. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1193 is approved. Can you please read the title and call the vote for 1194?
Assess benefited properties for water main improvements in the Deltawood Phase 1 Local Improvement District. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Wait, did we have, I normally don't take testimony. Did someone have testimony today on this? I'll extend that to you as a courtesy, ma'am. Please come forward. Sorry, Carla. Hi, welcome. Just give us your name and you'll have 3 minutes there.
My name is Kay Williford. I live in the Snoozy Hollow neighborhood. I tried speaking to you before all this happened and it didn't help. We're having problems where, you put in new water and sewer lines in our neighborhood, and our community has a homeowners association, and a vote was not ever allowed or permitted. And new homeowners, as well as old homeowners, are basically strapped for money. I'm disabled. There's three others that are disabled. One third of the neighborhood is empty right now. And we understand that liens are going to be put on our homes or loans. And most people are just getting up, leaving, seeing the banks don't want the homes because they're so old. They're just renting them out to make money until the banks finally come and take the homes. And the banks don't want them because they're so old. And it's stressing a lot of us out. The equity in the homes are gone because of this, and we're asking that this be stopped. We're also being forced to pay for $60,000 of water and sewage from people that lived there from 20 years ago. Now, we weren't even owners then, and we move in, and the next thing we know, all these liens and loans are on our homes. And it's stressing people out to where they won't buy the homes. We can't sell them. The neighborhood's going to waste. And we're asking for help that this we can't handle. We cannot handle. I'm on disability, not expecting any increase in income. I can't afford to pay $25,000 on top of what I already owe.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I believe that the city has worked really hard to try to make this the best deal possible for the residents, and that eventually the improvements will add to the value of the homes. And I appreciate the fact that there is a deferral program to assist folks who are struggling with that. Aye.
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I just want to say that I appreciate the residents coming today, but also 2 weeks ago. I'm familiar with your neighborhood, and it is a extremely low-income area. But I do believe that ultimately the improvements that were made, state-of-the-art sewer connections, sewer service, in the first place, improved water connections really are the pathway for this neighborhood to become more attractive for homeowners to invest in their homes and to have a higher resale value when you do sell your homes. These types of services are indispensable towards that. I know the Bureau of Environmental Services has reduced its portion to be collected from the LID. I'm not sure if Waterhouse also, but the point is that I feel we've done something here that is fair and consistent with the value of these improvements that we've made, and a consistent trade-off between the interests of ratepayers and the interests of homeowners. And as Commissioner Fritz says, there is a deferral program so that current owners do not have to pay these liens or assessments if they so choose. So with that, I vote aye.
Adams.
Aye. Can you please read the title for item number 1195?
Establish Independent City Budget Office.
Based on community interest in this topic, the sponsor has asked that this ordinance be returned to her office, Commissioner Fritz, to provide more time for input from the chief administrative officers and members of the community. The proposal is posted on our website and comments are encouraged, so referred back. Can you please read the title and call the vote for 1200?
Assess benefited properties for sanitary sewer improvements in the Delta Wood Phase 2 Local Improvement District. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1200 is approved. Can you please read the title and call the votes for 1201?
Amend various sections of the Public Works Improvement Code and Plumbing Regulations to implement the new policies related to the city's nonconforming sewer conversion program. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Again, thanks to everybody in Bureau of Marble Services and Amy True in my office for this. Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1201 is approved. Back to the regular agenda, regular work. Can you please read the ordinance for emergency? Read the item, Emergency Ordinance 1190.
Accept a grant in the amount of $65,000 and appropriate $48,750 for fiscal year 2012-13 from the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police 2013 Dewey Traffic Safety and High Visibility Enforcement Program for sworn personnel overtime.
1190 and 1191 were inadvertently put on the regular agenda. Normally, they're on the consent agenda. These are good things. We have smart people here to answer any questions anyone has. Does anyone wish to testify on 1190? Carla, would you please call the vote? Emergency ordinance, item number 1190.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, item number 1191.
Accept a grant in the amount of $36,000 and appropriate $27,000 for fiscal year 2012-13 from the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police 2013 Safety Belt Enforcement Program for sworn personnel overtime.
Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? Does council have any comments on this matter? Carla, can you please call the vote for emergency ordinance 1191?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Thanks for your great work. Aye. 1191 is approved. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance, item number 1192?
Amend contract with Moore Excavation, Inc. to increase compensation and scope of work for the West Side Header Relocation Phase 2 project.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. We have to play with the electronics for a minute. What we're here to talk about today is West Side Header, very important job for us that's underway. I'm sure you've all been tangled up in traffic due to the West Side Header job at one time or another. On the screen, momentarily, you should have a map showing where the project is, and the bulk of the project is the big black line. We have had two change orders previously on this job. The first change order was to, if you can work the map, to add Sheridan to the job. The reason that was done is that down there in this area, there is a whole lot of work going on from TriMet, ourselves, and others that are involved in the public improvements associated with the light rail project. We decided it would be a wise thing to do to, since the streets are torn up anyway, to finish the piping work that's necessary down there rather than wait a year and a half after everybody puts it all back together and then tear it up again.
Mike, could you just briefly say, what is West Side Header?
West Side Header is a, the actual diameter varies from place to place, but basically a 36-inch diameter pipeline that runs north-south that allows us to move water on the west side of the river north and south that, that we didn't have before. It's both a practical necessity, and I think it'll serve us very well in a seismic event so we can move water around the city. Sorry, should have done that first. The change order at hand today, this area, a lot of this area is fill. And back before my particular profession was invented, geotechnical engineering, the way they did fill, it's hard to believe, but my profession's pretty new, 1930s. The way they did fill was just like it sounds like. People bulldozed stuff in there, drove a bulldozer over it a couple of times, and put dirt on top of it. Now we compact it and we use soil. But working down there, if you're working underground, is a challenge. Basically, any of the places in the city that have been repurposed from the former riverfront industrial area, like the Waterfront Park, for example, basically all they did was knock down the buildings and maybe about 3 feet of the foundation below and put fill back in and build. So if you go any depth at all in these areas, you're liable to run into all kinds of debris and rubble, and it's very difficult to tell where it's going to be until you actually run into it. One might think that we should go out and pothole for that, but it's so variable that we can't pothole for it. You'd be forced to basically dig up the alignment and take a look and see what it was, and then you've driven everybody nuts twice to get the job done. So we just be prepared, have a contingency in the project to do that. What change order number three is going to add, and I want to show you some pictures of this when I get done talking about it, because it's kind of interesting. I think you guys get to approve all this work that we do and never see very much of it. What's specifically covered in change order number three is unforeseen obstructions. That's a nice word for all of this rubble. 430 feet of 12 to 18 inch thick, 8 foot deep concrete walls and floors that were the foundations for old buildings down there. We had to redesign one of the connections because when we do locates, we can locate lateral, left and right very well, but depth we don't locate very accurately. And then if you do, you only know exactly that spot. So if the pipe varies, you get surprised. We got surprised. In taking out what's called a thrust block, when pipe goes around a corner, particularly large pipe, we put what's called a thrust block in there to keep it from moving. It's like if you imagine a train going around a corner, water does the same thing. It's got momentum. When it bends around the corner, it pushes out. So you put a big pile of concrete there, called a thrust block. And when we were trying to remove the pipe, the contractor's demo tool slipped and put a hole in the pipe, and we flooded some stuff and have to pay for that. There's also some cost increases from large pipe signals. We made a deal with the naturopathic medicine college down there to block their parking lot for half a day. They decided later they'd rather we didn't do that, so we also are accommodating that. This will bring the project total up to around $5 million, which is still underneath the engineer's estimate. Once again, we're still benefiting from a bad economy. We get very good prices on our bids. Now what I'd like to do is show you some pictures of what this work really looks like. Nancy, you can feel free to kibitz if you want, but what you're looking at there is a 48-inch diameter piece of steel pipe, this is kind of like lacing your shoes with steel pipe. We have to slide it down in there through the shoring that's in there. That hunk of pipe probably weighs about 5,000 pounds. If any of you like have drive a Subaru, that's two Subarus worth of pipe in this one piece. It seems to be a popular car in Portland. Go ahead. You can see we put in extensive shoring under there so that the guys can work in there, and you have to kind of wiggle, lace this pipe down through it, and that's one of the things that Nancy keeps an eye on, that we get this all done correctly. Go ahead.
There's a 40-foot length of pipe, too.
There's an old bypass tunnel that we had to go through. That's what you can see. Shoring for the tunnel, that's a sheet. The guy's holding his ears because that's a vibrating pile driver that's driving the sheet piling in. So where
does that tunnel exit, the previous picture?
It crosses NATO Parkway on a diagonal. It used to go down to the waterfront.
There's many interesting things underneath the city. Go ahead.
And you're using that underpass or not?
We'll show you. We had to go through it.
Okay.
So did that make it easier or more difficult?
Pardon me?
Did that make it easier or more difficult?
Much more difficult.
You have to poke holes in the walls, and then you're again lacing the shoelace and trying to make everything line up. And if you look at the picture here, this is that tunnel, and we're running our big fat piece of pipe through there through holes that we had to pound in the wall. It's quite challenging. This is a pipe we removed. It's old cast iron pipe. Cast iron is really great stuff as long as you don't jiggle it, but it's terrible stuff in an earthquake. Even moderate shaking, the old joints are lead and oakum, and they were pounded in, and when you vibrate them, they leak. That's replaced by another, I love the Subaru measure, the 36-inch diameter piece of ductile iron pipe, 18 feet long, weighs 3,100 pounds, which is the weight of a Subaru. So keep going. There's a lot of night work on this. I don't know how many times I've sat at this intersection and wished I was not the one who caused the jam up at the intersections, but we've done a great deal of night work to try and reduce impacts on the traffic, and that's what it looks like. It's dangerous to work at night, but we're all very careful. Another night work picture. Just more of the same. Very difficult challenge staging pipe for this. It's not like building at Powell Butte where we can haul everything out there, pile it up, and use it as you need it. It becomes a logistics enterprise for the contractor to manage bringing this stuff in kind of on a as you need it basis. Go ahead.
That's it?
One more.
So that would be the project. We're available to answer any other questions you might have.
So I just had. I think you said this in the beginning, so I guess I assumed all the work going on there was utility relocation due to light rail, but it's really you're sort of taking advantage, or is it part of that? And also you're saying this is the time, since it's all being torn up, to do the work?
It's partly time to do the work. That's particularly true on Sheridan. That wasn't the Sheridan work. That was the first add. Wasn't in the project in the first place, but we looked down and decided that all of that area is going to be torn up, and we knew we were going to have to do it. So we decided to basically reorganize our distribution mains program and decided to fund it and add it to this particular project. What's going on down NATO Parkway is essentially we have to, there isn't any way to get around this. We don't mind crossing the light rail lines. That's pretty easy to do, but sometimes you're stuck being under them. And when we do that, we put pipe in and sleeve it so that if something happens to it, we can haul it out without shutting down the rail line. So kind of a complicated explanation, but it's not easy. Other questions?
I just really appreciate you taking the time to give us the visuals and explain the project, because I think sometimes when citizens see a number of an increase in a contract, you wonder why. And so this was very, very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. We think this stuff is cool. Other people just think it's a traffic disruption, I understand.
It's very helpful for that mm-hmm. purpose, too, to have people understand that this, in fact, makes sure that we can, our water supply will be safe in the event of an earthquake. So thank you.
Oh, she's waiting for something. Okay. Well, thank you. Is there anybody that wishes to testify on item 1192? Okay, this is a non-emergency, it moves to a second reading. Thank you. And then our next item, if we could go to 1197, since we're waiting for somebody to come here on 1196. Is that correct? On your right?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll come back in one
second. We'll come back. Yeah. Okay, let's go to 1197.
Amend fee schedules for building and electrical construction permits.
This item is the first reading of the Bureau of Development Services amended fee schedule for the fiscal year 2012-2013. Though the fee schedule was last changed in July, two additional minor changes are necessary at this time. First, in response to direct input from roofing contractors, a change is being made to the re-roofing fee. And the second change is the creation of new fees for solar and wind generation. These fees are required in order for BDS to comply with the requirements of the Oregon Administrative Rule regarding renewable electrical energy permits. Staff is here to answer any questions if members of council have any. Okay, is there anybody that wishes to testify? Okay, this will move to second reading next week. And keep going, I guess, 1198.
Authorize wholesale sewer services agreements with Clean Water Services for conveyance and treatment of sewage.
This item is a wholesale sewer services agreement between the City of Portland and Clean Water Services, one of our many regional partners. This ordinance updates our 1998 agreement and includes new mutually agreed upon rates and methodologies. This new agreement is fair to Portland ratepayers and is fair to Clean Water Services ratepayers. So I want to thank Clean Water Services as well as city staff for updating the new agreement, and I look forward to our continued work with them. And if anybody has any questions, we have people here. Okay, seeing no questions, does anybody wish to testify? Okay, seeing none, this will move to a second reading next week. 1199.
Authorize pretreatment program implementation agreement with Clean Water Services for sewer services.
This is 1199. This is related to 1198. So if there's any questions, anybody wishes to testify? Okay. 1198 moves to second reading next week.
We're now ready to proceed with 1196.
Okay. Let's go back to 1196.
1199 is coming.
1196. Authorize the purchase of property at 604 Northeast 99th Avenue from Human Solutions, Inc. for $1 and authorize a ground lease with Gleason Commons Phase 1 Limited Partnership for portions of city-owned property at 9929 to 9999 Northeast Gleason Street to facilitate the redevelopment of all properties at the site as Gleason Commons.
Commissioner Fish?
Thank you. And we're going to need Commissioner Leonard for the vote. So if Randy hears me, we're going to need him back in a minute or two.
Sure, he'll be back.
Thank you, President Saltzman. Today we're here to tell you about an exciting partnership with two nonprofit partners, and we're going to ask the council to approve two separate actions. The first is the purchase for $1 of a parcel owned by local nonprofit Human Solutions. The second is a 99-year lease with Human Solutions for the same property for $1 a year. Through this partnership, nearly 70 people and families will be connected with new homes affordable to households at or below 50% of our area's median family income. That's roughly $25,000 a year for a family of one, or $36,000 a year for a family of four. These families will live close to multiple transit options that will connect them with Greater Portland, and they will not be rent burdened, which means they'll have the freedom to connect with local businesses and the community in a meaningful way. Ride Connection will connect with the Gateway community and the people they serve in a more direct way, including offering new jobs to the community, up to 50 construction jobs at any one time, and 40 permanent jobs in their office. A cornerstone parcel in the Gateway District will become home to a beautiful new building, connecting the fabric of Gateway and providing a foundation for future and continuing revitalization. I'm pleased to introduce Director Tracy Manning, Director of the Portland Housing Bureau, who will just briefly walk us through the details. Hi, Tracy.
Hi. Thanks, Commissioner, City Council. So real quickly, this is another great example of the work that we're able to do with our partners. So we're going to be working on this part of the transaction with long-term partner that you're all familiar with, Human Solutions. Huge thanks go